Addendum. The following documents constitute additions to the first printing of this collection. Letter 88, 1894, E. G. White, handwritten edition at conclusion of typewritten letter. To W. C. White, February 6th, 1894. Since writing the enclosed, Elder Starr has had a long talk with Fanny. Now she is just beginning to see the perverse spirit she has had, and how much I have had to bear with her ever since she has been in Melbourne. She now says it is all right if she is separated from the work, that she has brought it upon herself, and if the decision is that she goes to America, that she will submit and do anything they may counsel her to do. She is now humble and seems to see herself. But I leave it with the judgment of others to decide what is best to be done. If you see it is not possible for these persons that I have named to come back to Melbourne, adjust the matter as you deem best. I think now the evil is stayed, but it seems to me Fanny has not any just appreciation of the work. She places it on a level with common things and handles it as such. Now she is very anxious to remain in Australia, but I am fearful to have her influence in this country. Would it not be best for her to return to America now that she is in a state of submission? Should she be entrusted again with the work? Would not this subdued feeling soon wear away? And as she has not very fine points of character, will not the same spirit come on her, and she bring the writings down to her level? I speak to you now freely, and you must do that which seems to be the best. When I am to get my workers, I know not, but I will trust and have faith that God has someone for me. If not, the writings will have to stop for the papers. I do not want that your business should be all broken into, but understanding the case, you must move intelligently as will best serve the cause of God. Please consider what objection will come in if we drive our horse and phaeton to Sydney. Would it be wrong? Please inform me all you can in reference to this matter. Had I best sell? I dislike to leave the horse and carriage and have to buy anew in Sydney. We are now pleasantly situated. Sister Tuxford is pleasant, and May doing well. In much love, signed, Ellen G. White. Elder Starr's American mail just came. His brother John writes he has given himself unreservedly to Jesus, and he has peace, the peace of Christ. He writes good, and I am so thankful for the poor soul. Our mail has not come. It is at the Echo office. Will come tonight. Have telephoned for it. Fanny is writing to all she has spoken to upon this matter, of which I have written to you. She seems determined to make thorough work, poor soul. I am distressed, yet relieved, and now I mean to trust in the Lord fully. Oh, I need more faith. Signed, Ellen G. White. Manuscript 94, 1894, entire manuscript. Experience with Fanny Bolton, circa 1894. First part, missing. Before a large family at the table, questions were asked in reference to my work. She stated that was preparing all the manuscripts for Mrs. White, and it went under her name, but it was her production. Mrs. White was a very ignorant woman. She could not write and could not put two sentences together, but she made the articles, and Mrs. White had the credit for doing them. This was the most wicked falsehood that could be invented. I did not learn what she was about, undermining the confidence of the people in me, until our meeting in Kurrenbong that lasted 3 or 4 weeks. I had all my manuscript, a very precious matter, that our brethren solicited me to read before the meetings assembled. I read every day long articles from my own pen that I could not get copied because I had refused to have any connection with Fanny Bolton. Not any correction had been made in them by any person. But remarks were made concerning the precious matter, so rich in ideas and instruction. Near the close of the meeting, two ladies, sisters, came. They said, they were glad I made the statement that I made in the meeting. Had I any objection to their seeing these articles? I told them no, but as they were unacquainted with my writing, they might not be able to read them readily. They returned them to me with an apology.
They said, I must see you and talk with you. I set a time, and then they explained that Fanny Bolton had sat at their table when they first embraced the truth, and there, before this large family, made the statement I have written. They said they asked her what she did to my writings. She answered that she made them all over. She said they were much of them her own writings, not mine, but I got the credit for them. Now, said they, we have seen. We have heard you read these manuscript articles. We have tested the matter by reading your writings quite readily. Her words were untrue. They had made so great an impression upon them and many others that she had conversed with, that they had no confidence in me or my work, and would not read my books. I was bemoaning to Brother Starr that the matter that I was reading had never had anything done to it. With much firmness, he said, Sister White, if you knew all that I know, you would understand that the Lord's hand has planned this whole matter. If ever I was thankful for anything, I thank God for this providence. At the close of the meeting, Sisters Malcolm came to me and said, I am so glad to be here in this meeting. I knew comparatively nothing of your work until I came. And I wish to say, I am glad you read those articles just as you had them, without going through anyone's hands. I have something to say now, fearing I shall not see you again. Unfinished. Letter 131, 1896, pages 1 to 3. To Edson and Emma White, March 21st, 1896. I cannot sleep past 2 o'clock. Think of you away across the broad waters of the Pacific, and must visit with you by the pen. Words. If it were the will of our Heavenly Father, I would much prefer to talk with you face to face. Sarah McEnterfer and I left Kurrenbong Station last Wednesday morning and came to Sydney. We called on Brother Israel and took dinner with them. Then we went to North Shore by cars and ferry boat. We took the cars again, and then we walked to the home occupied by Brother and Sister Starr. It is built up on the side of a high rise of land, as in Black Hawk and Centerville. I remained with them until Friday. Friday morning I awoke at 3:30. I had been sitting writing when a sweet peace beyond explanation or understanding came to me. I felt that I was in the presence of Jesus. A sacred, holy atmosphere surrounded me, and there was presented to me a line of action that I should pursue. All the previous feelings and the matter that I was writing upon seemed to be removed from me, and another matter was presented. I must take heed. I heard no voice, but the points presented were clearly laid out before me. I seemed to be taken away from myself and to be in the presence of God. The question was, what have you done with the request of Fanny Bolton? You have been sorely tried, but your Savior has been wounded and bruised and put to open shame by this deceived, deluded child. It is my will that you bear with her, forgive her, and help her. If she goes from you, Satan's net is spread for her feet. You alone can help her. She sympathizes with herself, and will have those who do not walk in the light to view her case in a perverted light, to sympathize with her, and her own soul will be lost, and through her influence other souls will be deceived and lost. It is my will that you accede to her request. You are not to wait for an assurance of transformation of character. She does not have power to discern her own heart, and the wily workings of the enemy. If she says she repents, if she reaches up her voice to you for help, my spirit shall be with you. Left to her own will and devising, she will walk into the snares set by the enemy and will perish. True, discerning hearts would but feel the righteous and indignant anger, while another class, who are also deceived in their own impressions of what constitutes Christian character, will look at this matter in a perverted light, and will give sympathy when it is the worst thing they could do to fasten this soul in the darkness of eternal night. This poor, erring, blood-bought soul has been deceived and has practiced deception and falsehood. Satan has had the control, but I will give her another chance. It may be that she may form a righteous character and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. These deceived souls, if left to their own thoughts and devisings, will not obey God's law. I know this will sound very strange to you, but it is not strange to me now. I have had no liberty to do this before, but now I dare not move otherwise. I would not, in my course of action in this case, give to others the appearance that I was unforgiving, that I was driving from me anyone who was repenting and soliciting for the position she has held. Christ is to me my example in all things, and I greatly desire to represent Christ. Jesus is to me like a great rock in a weary land. I want to be like Christ.
Here is the Lord Jesus, looking with pity upon sinful, erring humanity in Fanny. Here is an opportunity to let her take hold of hope and faith and not become desperate. Here is a case I cannot reason out. In this case, my wisdom becomes ignorance. Here, my understanding is completely at fault, but I am sure what is my duty. And if Mary Clough Watson wants to unite with me and would solicit a place with me, shall I not give her one more chance? Yes, yes, yes. I will. And may the Lord help me that no soul shall say, I called upon her, saying, I repent, and she would not hear.